Welcome into the Good, Bad, and Ugly Tennessee Basketball Edition, but we would be remiss if we didn't mention the Lady Balls, which we'll get to in just a second. Paige Dower alongside VFL Chris Brown, former Tennessee tight end. But I want to rewind a little bit to 2006. Tell me about that year. What game kind of still remains your favorite?
We open up against California in Neyland Stadium, so they're highly ranked. They have DeSean Jackson. They have Marshawn Lynch. Like, they have some players.
Yeah.
And they're talking crazy about how they're going to come into Rocky Top and beat us, right? So when you walk down and you do the Vol walk, we typically would get together around the tee and do like a little team prayer. A good friend of mine, Turk McBride, who went on to play for the Kansas City Chiefs, Turk's leading the prayer, and we're all kind of locked in, and everybody's, you know, getting ready. And DeSean Jackson tries to walk through us as we're all kind of locked
in. In your prayer.
In our prayer.
Oh, what?
Turk says, "And God, please pray for him."
Oh.
True story.
How did you win the game, though?
Oh, we won the game.
Okay.
Won the game. I caught the opening touchdown of that game.
Nice.
It was nice. I think it was 38-17 or something like that, or 38. Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, decisive win.
But
for
we called off the dogs.
Yeah, and you talk about the opening touchdown pass. There were a couple of touchdown passes from Jermaine Mashak
against
Florida down to Cade Phillips.
Yeah.
Tell me about that play, because that's definitely part of the good and our good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you're able to see the court, I think Cade and Jemiah, these guys have good energy and they have good sync. Like, they sync together, right? So those guys throwing those passes and being able to do that, it's what you want to see. Jemiah's energy is infectious, right? And I think his energy kind of leads our team, and his defensive play gets him going and sparks. And you can see that guy's just locked in right now. He's playing out of his mind.
Out of his mind.
Yeah.
And it was so good to see Sakai Ziegler, Igor Milicic return. That's obviously kind of been the main storyline this week after missing the Florida game. And it's been great because Igor Milicic, his last two games, 19 points against Kentucky, 21 against Missouri. Just unreal kind of the switch he's had these last few games.
Yeah, I mean, we brought him here to score, right? He was a scorer at Charlotte. He's obviously been consistent in doing that. But to see him truly, like, just go. And I mean, his stats the other night were just absolutely ridiculous. Like, it hadn't been done in NBA, college basketball in a very long time. So I think we're starting to see kind of the molding of us come together. Early in the year was Chaz. You know, we talked last week, and it was a lot about taking the pressure off of Chaz and getting those other guys involved. And boy, Igor got really involved. And Zakai Ziegler coming off of not playing that game, I think everybody was a little skeptical, right? Of like, what was going to happen? How was he going to play? Was he going to be able to be as aggressive as he always is? And he shot lights out.
Igor being able to produce on offense the way he is, does a great job in taking off pressure, not only maybe on Chaz, but like the rest of the offense too. So they're not, you know, all crashing just to one player and then Chaz not getting the opportunities.
Yeah, I think a lot of Igor's opportunity and what he does as well is rebounding, right?
Yeah.
Like, he goes to the offensive glass extremely hard. I think he can shoot the three extremely well. You know, I told you a story about off the camera about him. He was mad that he, like, was missing these dunks. And it's like, man, you got, like, you're balling, bro. Like, calm down. But I think you see that pressure that they all put on themselves. And the commitment to just wanting to do good and the commitment to wanting their teammates to do good. Poor had some big plays. I mean, obviously, him playing and, like, a couple of those lob plays, you can truly see, like, he's really strong. And his body's really strong to be able to take a lot of those fouls. But Igor obviously kind of made everything go the other night.
Yeah, a couple of things. It's funny that you mentioned the dunks. Igor was talking earlier today. He's like, I have never played with players like Felix or Cade where I'm like having to throw up these lobs, because you look at Sakai do it and it just looks so effortless.
Seamlessly. Lob passes have always been hard, especially when you're playing with big dudes. It's like, Akpor is 7 feet, Paige. I'm telling you, I stood up next to him and it like made, I feel like I'm a, you know, a normal sized dude.
Imagine I feel. I'm fine too.
I literally felt like a shrimp. I couldn't imagine having to throw lobs to him, because somebody who's 6'6" throwing a lob is different than 7 foot throwing a lob, right? So Zakai makes it look so easy. And obviously you hear Igor being so upset with himself that he can't make it look that easy. But Igor does a lot of stuff that other people can't do that he makes look easy, right?
And I don't know if it's fair to say maybe that leads to the bad part of the good, bad, ugly here on the field pass. But maybe if they could get D-Stone going, that would help with the bad of their inconsistent offense. Against Missouri, they went on a scoring drought for the last 4.5 minutes. If not for timely free throws, that game probably wasn't a win for Tennessee.
I'm not going to lie. I left when we were up like 12 because I felt comfortable.
And you were one of those.
You listen.
Got to beat the traffic.
That, yes, number one. When you park in the parking garage,
it is a mess.
So you stay late.
Yeah,
so
when I'm late like 3 hours later.
So you can get out. So in my head, I have this logic of, I don't want to see the other team come back and win.
Oh, no.
But like you said, timely free throws came through. Missouri was a good team, though. We have to give them some credit. Like, they have some guys that can really score the ball. I think their coach has done a really good job of building that program up kind of from where
because
it was.
I think they only had, like, single-digit wins in SEC last year.
Yeah, it was bad. So he's done a very good job of doing that. But the cold starts and the inconsistencies on offense page, we got to get that figured out. Like, our guys have to get that figured out.
Yeah, because when we look at the last 4.5 minutes of that game against Missouri, Tennessee only got 3 shots off in the last 4.5 minutes, and then Missouri had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 attempts, made 3 of them.
So, like, what do you think? What do you think happened to where we were getting whatever shot we wanted, and now all of a sudden, do you think it was Missouri's defense, or do you think it was more of us?
Honestly, that's a great question, Chris, because I think they handled Missouri's defense enough that I think maybe it was more so them getting away from what was working on offense. I think that's maybe why, too, they got to the free throw line. Like, Igor was there, Zakai was there, so they were drawing fouls the way that they needed to. So I think it was more so, like, what they were doing on offense got them the fouls that they wanted.
And that's truly what you want, right? Like, what you're doing on offense is going to get you that fouls. And at the end of the day, if you make free throws, same thing with the Vandy game. If you make the free throws, you win the game, right?
Yeah.
So it boils down to execution.
Yeah, because in the second half against Missouri, they were 21 to 26 from the free throw line.
There you go.
Just in a half alone. Yeah. A lot of that.
That's
certainly,
a lot of free
certainly
throws.
Certainly a lot. I can't
even That's a lot of free throws.
Then kind of to our ugly part of the good, bad, ugly. And full disclosure, we really could not pinpoint like a specific ugly. But if we had to take a microscope to it, Chris, I really probably would say it's the cold starts. But what was interesting, though, against Missouri, they had a fast 5-0 start. It was the first time in 5 games that Tennessee scored on its opening possession.
Yeah.
It was a 3 from the wing from Sakai Ziegler. You have to go 5 games back to Georgia. And it was a jumper from Jermaine Mason.
Dang, Paige, you just rattled that off. Hey. That's good.
And then later it was, I think a couple possessions later, it's Jordan Gainey getting, you know, a mid-range jumper to start out 5-0. And then Missouri goes and scores the next 8 points. And now they're down 8-5.
Yep.
That is what's going to cost this team games and wins, especially on the road when they can't have even I will take a lukewarm start over these freezing cold starts that they've really been having lately. And we are at an active dealership today. We have salesmen all over the place.
Hey, Andy, nice to see you. That's okay.
That's how you know we're at a green screen. This is a real dealership.
Come to Harper Volkswagen.
Hey, yeah, come on. Tell me some good deals at Harper Volkswagen.
We have great deals. We have 0% on Tiguans. Andy Maxey just came through, so you can come see Andy. He's a diehard, loyal Vol fan, Lady Vol fan. His email, Andy is so loyal. His email is KiffinSucks.
No, it's not.
KiffinSucks@gmail.com. When Lane Kiffin left us, Andy Maxey made that Gmail, and he's had it to this
I was dying. And also, that's a very nice card, because I drove that to Nashville for the Vanderbilt match, 0-2 for Tennessee. But hey, I actually might actually email him specifically because he has
Kiffin
that
sucks.
Email. So a lot of exciting things happening here at Harper Volkswagen. Always an active time.
I almost had another one.
nothing ugly here, especially this Volkswagen here.
Good. I like
but
that.
We talked in the scene with ugly. It's that cold start, Chris.
Yep.
I mean, they've got to find a way to warm it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head when you said the cold start will get you in trouble on the road. A home game, the crowd will get into it. You make a couple baskets, you get a couple stops, you can do it. On the road, you get that start, the cold start. It's the opposite, right? So the fans are going nuts. You said earlier that we were having communication issues against Vanderbilt, which is on the road. Tough place to play, obviously, with where everything is. But we have to figure that out. If that's going to the goal and trying to get fouled to get to the free throw line to kind of continue. We need to pressure more earlier in the game, right? Like, I think that can kind of cause some turnovers, get a couple quick, easy baskets to kind of alleviate what's going on. But our shooters need to be able to make shots. Like, Oklahoma's going to be a tough place to play, right?
Yeah.
They got some guys who can score. We looked that up. They got 3 guys, I think you said, that are scoring in double digits, right? So it's going to be a tough game. And defensively, obviously playing on the road. It's funny, I was listening to Brian Rice earlier coming in. He said he was doing his little post-game press conference last night, and Coach Barnes was about the film, the Rick Barnes show, and he's like, hey, good luck in Norman. He's like, why did I say that? Coach Barnes is – used to like coach at Texas. He knows what Norman is. I don't need to tell him good luck. No. Like
he knows
what he's going into. So obviously,
he's seasoned, okay?
He's very, very, very seasoned, right? So I know Coach Barnes will have those guys ready to play in that aspect. And listen, Coach Barnes has done a really good job with this team, I think, in kind of just sustainability, right? Like, we were number one for a very long time. And I think we took a couple tough L's early in the season, but we've bounced back and we're playing extremely well right now. It was a tough game. To get this game on the road against Oklahoma, I think will be huge, and kind of then we'll deal with next week.
Yeah. And like we said at the very top, a long tease till we get to it.
Long.
Lady Vol basketball.
Let's go.
Elite company for Kim Caldwell in this group right here, getting the 10th win all time. Kim Caldwell is just the second coach behind Pat Summit.
That's awesome.
To defeat UConn.
So awesome.
Incredible. Their first top 10 win this season. They've been so close so many times this season. If you had one word to describe that win, Chris, because I know we were texting about the game, what's the word you'd use?
It's important to make the right decisions, like when to go for it on fourth down, or when to kick the field goal, or go for the touchdown. It's also important to make the right insurance decisions, too. That's why my office, Trey McAdams State Farm, is here to help you select the right protection at the right price. Our office will make sure you understand your State Farm coverages, so you'll know what to expect when the unexpected happens. With Trey McAdams State Farm, it's easy to make the right call. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Proud sponsor of the Tennessee Vols.
Amazing, right? Like, I think to watch those girls do what they did, to be able to come together. You did the special yesterday on Full Disclosure with Alexis Hornbuckle, a good friend of mine from back in the day, and she talked about just what it took. I was listening to say how Coach Summit kicked her out of practice. I can believe it with her, 100%. Listen, Alexis was one of the most competitive, most fierce competitors, like, you know, like being a dude, I played basketball in high school, and she'd be like, don't step on the court with me. And it's like, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Lex. I ain't gonna. Right. So, but like to hear that and like to see the passion and like that Coach Summit made this series, her and Gino made this series for what it was, and to watch our girls come out and the fans, man, like it's so cool to see Vol Nation come together like that. It's so cool to see them come together. The night, and we had a men's game the night before, right? So like you stack the men's game, and that's almost 50,000 people coming together to watch basketball. But the men are the men. The Lady Vols need all the credit. Coach Caldwell, you're doing an amazing job. All the girls, y'all are doing amazing. I think Vol Nation is truly supporting you guys. And I think, you know, everyone was a little skeptical of Coach Caldwell's playing style, right? And how she's doing this.
The amount of shade she gets from other coaches for getting this job is unreal.
Like, why does she deserve it? Well, she deserves it because that's who we picked.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we picked her. She didn't pick us. We picked her.
Yes.
So we wanted her. We embrace her. We embrace everything that she did. And I think we're seeing what it takes, right? Like, you get someone who believes in a team. You get someone who gets that that great culture and just creates a really good positive environment. And you can go and win games. Obviously, she brought in some girls from the transfer portal, but there's still some girls that were here last year that are contributing and that are doing extremely well.
Sarah Puckett had crucial three-pointers.
Yeah. Like crucial three-pointers, right? And I think with Z, like, we've been waiting on this game, right? Like we've been waiting.
She came alive
in the fourth. She was clutch when it came to rebounding, when it came to defense, when it came to communication. Like, you could see our girls had they were all together. They were all in it. They knew it. They were ready for the moment. I think you have to attribute that to coaching and just the competitive nature that these girls have. But, what a great morning to wake up to be a Vol fan. But, like, for the Lady Vols, they killed it. And, like we need to give them all the credit. Like, everybody needs to be,
all
like, we just
flowers.
Like we just beat Alabama. Like, this is that program altering win. Because Paige, we already got the number 2 recruiting class now, right? So you don't think people are watching that game?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think people were going, all right, let's see what's going on between Tennessee and UConn with the old school battle. And Gino Auriemma, listen, we know Connecticut's going to be fine. Like, we know they're going to go on their run through the Big East. We know if we play the way we need to play, they're going to be there. But go Lady Vols.
Yeah, you mentioned the Alabama-Tennessee football equivalency, yeah. And that's exactly what VFL and former Lady Balls head coach Holly Werlich described it as, yeah, as well. So definitely go back on the homepage, give those a listen. Holly Werlich and Alexis Hornbuckle, fantastic interviews. This is also a fantastic interview.
Thank
so,
you.
Chris, I appreciate the time.
Absolutely.
Can't wait till next Friday. Hopefully it's another fantastic week of Tennessee and Lady Ball basketball.
Absolutely.
Where it's more good than anything else.
We like the good.
Yes, we love the good. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks.